I'm not used to being called Mr. Speck. My kids don't give me that much respect. I need to get to know you a little bit before I introduce myself. All of you that come from a family-owned operation, I want you to stand up for me. Family-owned operation. Okay. Anyone that is from a second generation or more, remain standing. Third generation or older operation, remain standing. Fourth generation or older, remain standing. Can you guys hear me okay? Fifth generation or more, remain standing. Sixth generation or more, remain standing. Do we have a winner? What generation are you? All right. And yourself? Sixth. Very good. This room, I wanted you to see that because you already know this, but this room is full of legacy. This room is full of stories. This room is full of heritage. And that's really what I focus on in my work, is preserving families and perpetuating these legacies. And really, it needs to be in that order. I'm a farm kid from San Diego originally. That's usually how I get the response in Nebraska, too, when I'm presenting. We had 2.5 acres and had a couple of pigs. And when I moved to Nebraska, I was quickly informed that that did not make me a farmer. I thought it was pretty rude, but I moved on with life, and we'll just deal with it. I also learned a few things in Nebraska about bull riding. Anyone in here ever ridden a bull? Raise your hand with some pride. I mean, don't... Oh, you can't lift your shoulder? Is that... Okay. All right. How is success measured in bull riding? Help me out. 8 seconds. Any other measures of success in bull riding? Walking out of the arena under your own power. Very good. What correlations might there be? I'm going to ask you to be creative. It's pretty early in the morning. What correlations are there between bull riding and owning a family ranch? Anyone going to be brave this morning? Are there any correlations?
Staying on board.
Hanging on. What do you do first thing when you get into the chute as you prepare to ride a bull? Pray. After the prayer part. What's after the prayer? You tie your hand to the bull. Does that sound like a bad idea to anyone but me? Now, those of you that don't ride bulls but have these family operations, you do that yourself in these operations that you have. Emotionally, financially, you tie yourself to that operation. So you're just as crazy as the bull riders. Now, also, success in this family operation is being able to make an exit gracefully and being able to perpetuate the ranch another generation. So I'm a family, I have a family, and I have 5 kids. And I wore this tie today because my undergraduate students, I usually blend in too well with them. So for them to recognize that I was the professor, I would wear a tie. Otherwise, I think I should be with them. I have a family business consulting practice. I work with these generational operations all over the country. And I am a pursuer of inspired questions. And what that means is that I think that the answers to your challenges in these generational operations and how to perpetuate them is actually within you already. But it's my job to pull the answers out of you. It's not likely that I'm going to go to you and tell you, do A, B, and C, and as being an A-type personality, owner of a ranch, that you're just going to say, okay, Mr. Guy with the tie on, I'll do that. It's our opportunity to ask you questions and then to help you implement those solutions. I did teach at the University of Nebraska for 3.5 years, And that group was a great group to work with. I taught in the College of Business and then in Ag Economics. So I got to get to those young people before they decided to go back, to arm them with the questions that they should have answered before they decide to go back. And that was really important. I feel like all of us need to be ambassadors for ag. I won't talk about this too much today, but I write and speak a lot because there are a lot of misconceptions with agriculture and with what it means to be a family operation. Some of the best teaching opportunities for us to teach our kids the value of work and the value of a dollar is found in these family operations. And when we see the media, many times the popular media write about family operations, we hear about sibling rivalry, we hear about money issues, we hear about family businesses are a dying breed, we hear about divorce. But we need to be advocates for all that's good about these family operations. And so that's my charge to you. Anytime you get an opportunity to talk to someone about what's good about being a family-owned operation, you need to do that. So we'll start with a top 10 list. We'll see if we can get you going this morning. And then I'll get into our inspired questions. If you've ever been fired by your boss in the morning and had dinner at his or her house the same evening, you might be involved in a family ranch. If your succession plan specifically calls for crossing your fingers, rubbing a rabbit's foot, or bribing your sister, you might be involved in a family ranch. If you consider a full work week more than 80 hours, you might be involved in a family ranch. Does this sound familiar to anybody? If you've ever hired your brother or fired your father, you might be involved in a family ranch. If you find yourself in the same occupation as your great-grandfather, you might be involved in a family ranch. If you consider the business that you work at a family and a community stewardship, you might be involved in a family ranch. If your retirement plan consists of looking over your children's shoulder and second-guessing their every move, you might be involved in a family ranch. If you consider your annual family reunion a corporate board meeting, you might be involved in a family ranch. If you've ever shown up late for work and received a punishment of a two-week grounding, you might be involved in a family ranch. And lastly, if you love what you do and find lasting joy and fulfillment in your work, you might be involved in a family ranch. There's a lot of fun that we have with these family operations. We chuckle about some of the tough things. There's so much good about being in a family ranch. Let me tell you about inspired questions and how this all got started. I was a young married guy, and we had our first child, and I felt very overwhelmed. I felt like I needed to have the answers for how I would raise this precious little girl that came to our family. And I wanted the answers, and I wanted them now so that I wouldn't make mistakes. And what I realized was that I didn't need to have the answers. I needed to have the right questions. And so that has affected not only how I raise my kids, but how I practice in my consulting business. I did develop an app for families to be able to manage the communication around family, values, and money, because there are a lot of challenges. There are a lot of things that all the members of your family want to know about your family operation, but no one wants to be the first one to ask. Can anyone relate to that? So hopefully I'll provide you with a few tools. These 10 inspired questions, I'll give them to you as homework. Maybe pick your favorite three, take them home, and ask your family. And I think you'll be surprised at some of the answers that you get. The first one, I'd actually like to have the audience participate and talk to each other. This is an important question and one of my favorites. What does it mean to be a, and insert your last name? I want you to take 1 minute, turn to your neighbor, and answer that question. What does it mean to be a, and then insert your last name? Go. Heather, I'll be with you. What does it mean to be a mod?
I just became a mod.
Okay, what does it mean to be a Hamilton?
What does it mean to be a Hamilton? It means that you are a God-fearing, honest, hard-working person. In my family, it means that you can do whatever you'd like to do, but most of the time, that means that you choose to be in agriculture in some component. And in my direct Hamilton, that usually means you work hard, you always do what's right, you treat your neighbor and your community fairly, and you give back to your community.
How do you think your mother and your father would feel if they heard your answer?
They would say the same thing.
Thank you.
Okay, I need someone to be brave. Actually, your neighbor can be brave for you. If you liked what you heard from one of your neighbors, volunteer them. Don't be loyal. Anyone want to share? I'm going to just pick on somebody. I need an answer. Heather gave me a great one. What does it mean to be an Olsen?
Means being the descendant of a hard-headed Norwegian immigrant who ended up in northeast Montana as a farmer and rancher.
Very good. Thank you for being brave. Now, take that question home. I think that you'll be surprised at what you hear. Maybe it's what you hear from your grandfather, or maybe it's what you hear from your child, or maybe it's what you hear from your grandchild. And that will be an experience, and you'll be glad that you came to listen today, if you just take that one question home. The second question is that you might consider with your family is, what is the biggest unknown regarding the future of the family ranch? You ask that to Grandpa, he's probably going to answer one way. You ask that to the next generation that's not quite back, they're probably going to answer that in a different way. How valuable or how necessary is it that we ask those questions so that we can at least have a similar perspective on how people feel about the future of the family ranch? The third one, let me get back up here. What is or would be the hardest thing about being a parent and an owner of the ranch? One of the key challenges in all of family business, whether it's in agriculture or in any other industry, is balancing multiple roles. So I have a role as a father. I have a role as a husband. I have a role as a business owner. And for you, you get to juggle all those. You get to wear all those hats. And I think it'd be an interesting question to ask your children. What do you think would be the hardest thing about being a parent and an owner of the ranch? I think it's important that you know what their perspective is. I think you'll find out that maybe they don't understand the struggles of trying to weigh the multiple roles that you have. But it'll also give you an opportunity to express how you feel about being a parent, how you feel about being their father or their mother. It'll also give you an opportunity to express why the ranch is a stewardship to you and why it's a struggle when you think about making plans for the continuity of the ranch. If you have multiple kids and some are involved and some are not, it'll facilitate and start a conversation that absolutely has to take place in your family in order to preserve your family relationships and perpetuate the family ranch. Okay, the fourth question, what do you perceive as the biggest challenge regarding shared ownership in a family ranch? And I want to ask you guys that question right now and see how you feel about that. What are the biggest challenges of shared ownership in a family ranch setting? Yes, sir. Hierarchy of authority, okay? Shared ownership. Who's the chief and who are the Indians, right? What else? How to make it equitable. Good. What else? What are the challenges of shared ownership in a family ranch?
Common goals.
Common goals, okay? You take priorities. Yep, we have different priorities. We look at the ranch through a different lens. If I'm on the ranch and I've worked there for 20 years with Mom and Dad, and my brother and sister are off in the big city pursuing what they want to pursue, And my parents want to make me an equal owner with my siblings when they pass. And my siblings look at the world in a different way. That's gonna create some challenges for me. And I think that shared ownership is one of the key issues in these generational transitions. And again, it's a topic that no one wants to talk about. Shared ownership, and what does it mean? What are the rights of an owner? What are the rights of an operator? Are the rights the same if you're not an owner-operator? You know, what expectations are realistic for the person who has some ownership in the ranch but does not work on the ranch? We don't talk about these expectations. Everyone has an expectation, though, for how they're going to be communicated with, what rights, what opportunities do they have with that shared ownership. That's a key question that needs to be talked about with your family ranch, is shared ownership. Is there a right answer for every family? Absolutely not. There's not. Every one of you is going to have to make a tough decision on what you do with shared ownership, whether you have shared ownership with participating and non-participating heirs, or whether you choose to do something different. Every family is going to be different. There isn't a right answer. But not talking about the issue of shared ownership and how you feel about it with your next generation is a problem. Okay, here's another important one. What is your comfort level with having to personally guarantee the debt of the family ranch? If I ask the next generation, maybe that are involved or not involved in the family ranch, who would like to inherit the family ranch? Most of them would raise their hand because owning stuff is cool, right? Right? But if I ask that question right there, what's your comfort level with having to personally guarantee the debt of the family ranch? The hands are not quite so plentiful. Okay? If you're working on the ranch, you understand the risks of being on the ranch. You're probably more likely to put everything on the line if you have to be able to see it forward. But again, if it's my sister or my brother who are off in the big city who haven't been on the ranch very much at all in the last 10 years, 20 years, that's an important question. Because if owners are not equally passionate about and equally committed to the future of the family ranch, we're going to have problems. And I think it's important that you ask that question early. If you have kids that are not coming back, ask them. Because it might make your job of planning for the future easier. Because this might be part of what they have to do if they're going to inherit the ranch. And they may say, I don't want to inherit the ranch, but I do want to come back whenever I want and be able to, you know, visit and have memories there with my kids too, but I don't need to own the ranch. That makes your job easy. But you have to ask these questions to be able to pull it out of them. What do they really want from the family ranch? At what age do the decisions in your personal life influence how people look at the ranch? Is that a fair question? What would you say? At what age do the decisions in your personal life... I'm going to get a drink. At what age? Any age? Okay. So when my 7-year-old's picking his nose and eating it at school, that affects how people look at the family ranch. I tell him that. I don't know if he cares. He probably doesn't, but... Any other ideas or suggestions or thoughts on that? 15, 16, okay. A DUI in high school or college puts a black eye on, not only on the family name, but on whatever business you're in. I think it's okay to have these types of conversations with your kids. And is that added pressure? Sure it is. But they were born into that family. There is that pressure, so live with it. If you own the ranch, what do you think might keep you awake at night? What keeps you up at night? What do you worry about with the family ranch? debt. What else do you worry about with the family ranch? What keeps you awake at night? Sister-in-laws keep you awake at night? We won't go there. What else keeps you awake at night about the family ranch? How to divide it up. Yeah. How many years might we go with sleepless nights thinking about that question, but are not willing to have some of these crucial conversations? We go a long time. We go a long time. We suffer through a lot of terrible nights, but we don't want to have the conversation. You have to take some courage and have these conversations. And ask your next generation, what do you think it would be that would keep you up at night if you had the stewardship of the ranch? I think it's important that they verbalize some of the fears that they would have so that you can either help them with those, prepare them better, or know that they just simply wouldn't be comfortable owning the family ranch. What innovations will the family ranch have to make to stay competitive? Again, if you ask grandpa or grandma this, you ask your next generation that's coming back, you're probably going to get some different answers, but it's okay. Having the dialogue about where are we going as a family and as a ranch is really important. What responsibilities come with owning a ranch? What are some of the responsibilities that you have? None. That's cool. That's awesome. I want your ranch. Paying the bills. Okay. What else? Responsibilities. It's a bashful group this morning, huh? Stewardship of the land, of what others before you built. Very good. Again, another very important question to ask your next generation as they're preparing to come back. What responsibilities come with owning a ranch? And listen to their response and see how clear their perspective is on what it really means to own the ranch. Question number 10. Complete this sentence. The best thing about being a part of a family ranch is. Somebody answer that one for me. What's the best part of being a part of a family ranch? The hours, right? The work hours are great. You get to work with family, okay? Yeah, that's the best and the worst, depending on the day. Leaving a legacy? Okay, good. This is an important question to ask, again, ask your spouse. You might be surprised. Ask your kids. If you need help, you go find it. Whether that's with tools that are here at this conference or professionals that can help you to develop the questions. Again, I believe that the answers to your challenges are probably within you, but you need professionals that will help you pull those things out and then help you execute on those. So in conclusion, I want you to be intentional about communication. Don't avoid it anymore. Be intentional about preparing. What questions do you want to ask your kids? What questions do you need to have? What conversations do you need to have with non-participating owners? Don't shy away from those things. Prepare for them and then have them. You're people that are not scared. You're willing to face hard things. You're willing to do difficult things when it's meaningful, when it will perpetuate your legacy. And it's crucial to become better at communicating about the family ranch. Don't assume your next generation knows what you want. Don't assume your next generation sees the ranch the same way you do. Don't assume anything. You have to ask. You have to ask. Commit to do something. If you take one question home from today and you do it, that's a success for me. So commit to take something home from today and implement that from a communication standpoint. I appreciate your time today, and I'll be at the bullpen session too.